Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. We're joined, as always, on our live chat by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including Cheesehead TV's own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we'll try to come to grips with the fact that the Packers season is over. It's over, Nagler!
That's what I hear.
But right now... It's time not to rise up, Red Sea.
That's depressing.
It's not time to
that
rise up, Red
is
Sea.
It's depressing. Rise up, Red Sea, my ass.
Oh, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Where else can you see a man throw 60 yards on 4th and 20 and then fall away on a Hail Mary complete to tie up the game other than this quarterback?
Jeff. Janice.
Gee, should maybe he have seen a few more snaps this year?
Mike the Lion Daniels.
Beast up front along the defensive line.
And we got the bad. We got the bad. We got dropped interceptions. Oh,
three of them. Three of them from Sam Shields.
Overtime defense.
We'll get into this a little bit later, but Demarius Randle went full rookie at the worst possible time.
And we got the ugly. We got Tim Garbage Mastay.
This kid is ready to be shown the door. You gave Crosby a year to work it out, and he worked it out. You've given Mastay 2 years to work it out. He hasn't worked it out. Time to be shown the door. How are you, Banky?
I'm good. I need to fix your camera, though.
Why you got to fix my camera? Why, it looks fine. Look at me. I'm fine. What are you talking about? Is my hair? What's the problem? I mean, I was wearing a hat, so, you know, it's a little off, but you're such a perfectionist.
Well,
for those of you listening later on the podcast, Corey literally just put the camera down and not even an inch. I want to say a couple centimeters, but that's all right.
I mean,
you're a perfectionist. You're a live director.
What's happening is when the viewers see the lower third, I didn't want to cut off your chin.
I hear you, dude. Cut my chin off. There's two chins there.
Some people enjoy how the sausage is made. I am one of them.
I'm going to throw
up. And that's why we have a popular show, people.
Very popular. Our friends at the Stillwing Brewery are popular. Let me tell you, I get tweets about them all the time. And let me tell you right now, yeah. Corey, the season may be over. This may be the last episode of Packer Transplants for the 2015-2016 Green Bay Packers. But I will be enjoying a cold Stillwing beverage for the entirety of the offseason. Corey, salut.
There you go.
Wisco Disco in the house. People, if you haven't tried it, if you're in the Green Bay area, you may not be able to enjoy them at a Packers game since there won't be any for quite some time. But you can go to the brewery, the Stillwing Brewery in Green Bay, or you can go to various spots around the area. Check it out. Any Stillwing product is fabulous. I highly recommend Wisco Disco.
It's really amazing to go to the brewery itself because some of the best beer I've ever had in my life is at the brewery.
Agreed.
And Brad Stillwing, this is the second year that they've sponsored us. Pretty much our best sponsor of all time.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, we've had several. We have good ones. We have good ones this year.
Yep.
But let me tell you, there's few things on this planet that make me happier than free beer. And let me tell you.
Yeah.
Especially when it's good for
I was about
beer.
To say, like, I wouldn't be as excited if PBR was our sponsor.
I'd be pretty excited.
I mean, maybe we get more money.
Probably.
But the beer would be crappier.
The beer wouldn't be as good, but it'd be pretty good. But
so, those of you on Twitter, one last chance to win the Packers Legends saw a poster by Brent Schoonover.
Do it.
Just have to tweet, I'm watching Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer.
Wisco Disco Beer.
Do it, people. Beer, do it. Beer, and beer. Just so you know, our next show will probably be...
Probably, because we don't set anything in this place.
Probably be a combine show.
Yep.
Followed by a draft show.
Yep.
Followed by a breaking news show in any time slot.
Yeah, like some kind of like free agency.
Something happens.
They
if
sign
enough
Von
of you
Miller,
whine on
whatever.
Twitter and Facebook,
yeah.
We tend to show up.
Yep. It tends to happen. But yeah, we'll probably do something. Are we going to be doing, this is a good question for you, which I didn't ask you for the last 2 hours as we've been sitting here getting ready for the show, but are we going to do some kind of draft thing like we did last year? Is that
yeah.
the plan?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, okay, good. Just making sure.
Yeah, it's going to be run by Jersey L.
There you go. Now we're talking.
So you know it's going to be good.
Now we're cooking.
Actually,
with gas.
Jersey Al and I are talking this weekend about that very thing.
There you go. And let me tell you, I've been privy to some emails from Jersey Al to the writers here at Cheesehead TV. There's going to be a whole host of draft content here at CheeseheadTV.com. So Packers fans, the season may be over, but the next season has already started. I just booked my flight and hotel for the combine today.
And you're going to be at the Super Bowl.
I'll be at the Super Bowl, and then I'll be at the combine. And then before you know it, the draft is going to be here. So the new Green Bay Packers are going to be start to take shape before you know it. So make sure you're sticking around here at CheeseheadTV.com for all your Packers needs throughout the offseason.
As always.
So now you want to go to some Packers news?
That's some news.
Get this all done? You're all wrapped up?
I don't know why that's not. Okay.
All right. There we go. Packers news! I think the headline's got to be, I mean, other than the fact that the Packers have, you know, now lost in heartbreaking fashion yet again, we'll get to that later, the headline's got to be Mike McCarthy. He said at his season-ending press conference that evaluations would be made, coaches would be, you know, dissected, and it seems that didn't take very long. Looks like that work was probably done during the year because not 48 hours after that press conference, both Sam Gash, running backs coach, and Jerry Fontenot, tight ends coach, have been let go. See ya. Sayonara.
Later. That's tight ends coach and running backs coach for those of you counting at home.
Sam Gash, not surprised. Jerry Fontenot, kind of surprised.
Because he's been with
he's
McCarthy
been there since,
the since
McCarthy came on and et cetera, et cetera. Although I looked back after that happened, I looked
That's
back.
Like you firing me.
No.
At some point,
that's like you firing me.
No, at some point, you're going to be so big time.
Would you stop?
That
just
you'll be like,
stop right now.
I'll be talking during your show.
There is no one more like, big time than you.
Who is talking? Who is talking? Banky, you're fired.
So what you're saying here in the scenario you've just presented, I'm Chris Berman. That's what you're saying. I'm fat.
You're
and I've got my hair is even more receding. And I'm an asshole. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
No, I was actually, it was more of a Christian Bale reference.
Okay, nice. Christian Bale. Hey, he's young and hot and really talented, so I'll take that. I'm good. I'm good being Christian Bale. It's
all
good.
You're like a Christian Bale.
I'm going to yell at you about
Chris Berman hybrid.
The lights. The lights are.
Yeah. You're a Christian Bale, Chris Berman hybrid.
Why would you walk when we're shooting? I'm an artist. I'm trying to talk Packers here, Banky. Something like that.
You're fired.
Yeah. You're fired.
Yeah.
Sadly, that's never going to happen. Jerry Fontenot, yeah, no surprise. Although it was funny, after I saw that news, I kind of hearkened back to Ben Fennell, who was about to write for CheeseheadTV.com before he got a legit job. He used to work for NFL Films, and then he worked for ESPN. I'm not sure what he's doing now, but I know he still has access to coaches tape, and it really makes me jealous every Monday morning.
Yeah.
But he had posted a kind of a tweet vine slash video of Richard Rodgers running just a god-awful route where, you know, you're supposed to run it 5 yards and in. It's a very precise, it creates levels, etc. And Richard Rodgers runs it like, oh, my cut point's at 5 yards, but I'm going to keep going. Maybe run it, round it off for 8 yards, 9 yards deep, and he's going into the end zone. I think it was the Minnesota game, actually. But, and it's like, and you saw that throughout the year from Rodgers, just no kind of no precision, no consistency. And I kind of mentioned this on Twitter, and people come back at me like, oh, you know, it's not Fondo's problem. That it's not his fault that Richard Rodgers is slow as molasses. It's like, you can be slow.
Yeah.
You can be slow, well, and you can still be precise.
Look at Donald Driver last 2 years of his career.
Slow, but precise.
Very precise.
You still got to run the routes. You got to run them to precision. the combination of sloppiness, not only from the wide receivers, who obviously didn't even have a dedicated wide receivers coach this year, along with the tight ends running sloppy routes, just, you know, I think kind of spelled doom for everyone involved, including Sam Gash, who, you know, you can put it on the fumbles, you can put it on the work they did in pass protection, you can put it on the Eddie Lacy weight thing, though I don't think that had anything to do with Sam Gash. And it's funny because I've seen lots of people positing theories about why these guys were fired, or why, does it, I think our friend Jason Wilde said it feels scapegoaty, or that was the question he asked on Green Gold today, this morning. Does it feel scapegoaty to you? It's impossible to say. I do know that the tight ends ran really sloppy routes all year. I can say that because I can point to the tape and show, look, that's a thing that that coach is in charge of that did not improve all year long.
Right.
That's something I can point to. But as far as like Sam Gash, we have no idea. We have no we have no clue why that decision was made. There are lots of like end product things that we can point at, such as fumbles, such as Eddie Lacy's weight. Although, again, I don't think that's Sam Gash's fault. But we have no clue about the inner workings. And that's always my thing with assistant coaches. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes that we're not privy to, we'll never be privy to, no matter how much we want, no matter how much we, like, every blog we read, every piece of information we get out of, you know, the coverage of the team, we're not going to know.
No.
But
and there's, there's plenty of other reasons for someone to get fired that have nothing to do with the product on the field. And honestly, our world
works in
some ways. Like, we love the fact that football is such a meritocracy. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to personnel and coaching and everything else, like, as we know in our real lives, meritocracy tends to be like the second or third priority when it comes to jobs and working with other human beings.
How many times have you read, you know, talking to somebody who is in football or who has been involved with the NFL, how many times have you read it's a relationship business? It's a relationship business. It's all about relationships, et cetera, et cetera. Why do you think the same guys get hired? Why do you think we see the same names over and over and over again in coaching hires? Yeah, because it's a relationship business. It does not, like, escape me for a second that perhaps something happened relationship-wise in both of these instances. Although, I will also point out that someone had to swing for all the issues on offense this year and all the problems that they had on the offensive side of the ball. You notice none of the defensive coaches were fired. You know, it's like,
I don't know.
Something had to happen.
I personally, as a fan, I don't feel like any heads needed to roll.
Yeah, no, I agree with
that.
Because
when
I was surprised. I was surprised by both.
Yeah, when I look objectively at this team, I feel like they got a lot further than they probably should have with the heart at the end.
Well, and here's the other thing. How much of this is on the personnel side? I mean, how much of this is on the personnel group? How much of this is on the people bringing in the talent or lack thereof? You know, Jerry Fontenot had Richard Rodgers, Justin Perillo, and Kennard Backman for most of the year.
Yeah.
Corliss,
for the last three
games, was in and out, was pretty much non-existent for most of the year. But that was what Fontenot had to work with. You know, it's not like Ted drafted some major talent at the position or, God forbid, signed somebody in free agency. So, yeah, that's like how, like, some of this has to be on the personnel side. And it's interesting that no moves are made on the personnel side, but two coaches get fired.
Signed somebody in free agency. That was funny.
That was hilarious, right? I know. Just a little bit of comedy. A little comedy for you early on in the program. Here, Banky, I got a bunch of zingers coming.
That's never going to happen.
Just stay tuned. Speaking of coaches and the Packers, and by the way, sorry to the Gash and Fontenot families, but the Packers coaches will be in Hawaii coaching the Pro Bowl. So sorry you missed out on that. Although I do find it funny that our friend Lance Allen tweeted out tonight, is the last Mike McCarthy show. Find out what he's excited about, something about Mason Crosby, and then what, and coaching in the Pro Bowl, not so much. Oh, sorry, Mike. Sorry you're not excited about going to Hawaii on the NFL's freaking dime to coach a bunch of overprivileged prima donna NFL players who are there and won't even try in the game, and you get to network and you get to chill in Hawaii.
And the Pro Bowl will still get
and the Pro Bowl will still draw numbers.
Yeah,
by
it'll
the way.
Still get more viewers than like Big Bang Theory, by the way.
So I'm just like, come on, dude. dude. Although it's funny because I think we're not there. Oh, yes. Next, Aaron Rodgers, speaking of the Pro Bowl, has pulled out of the Pro Bowl. Shocker to no one.
No.
My favorite response.
Dude, if I was Aaron Rodgers, I can't believe he went last year.
I know.
I'd be like,
did he go last year? No, he was hurt last year. He didn't go last year.
I thought he went last year.
You know, the calf injury, remember? I think he went 2 years ago.
Duh.
I think he went 2 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't go.
I think it was funny, though.
Once you're MVP, do you really ever need to go in the Pro Bowl?
You're MVP. Like, that's, come on. But it was funny because one of my favorite responses on Twitter to the announcement that Aaron had pulled out was, I hope Aaron has a really good offseason rehabbing from the hashtag, I got better shit to do all offseason itis or whatever it is. I mean, come on. Of course he's not going. He's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers' life is about 10,000 times better than anyone in the world.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
His life does not suck in any way, shape, or form. Right.
Why would you go to the Pro Bowl? I wouldn't go to the Pro Bowl if I was Aaron Rodgers.
No way, dude. I would just be like following Olivia Munn around. I just be like,
I'm sure that's what he's
going to
do.
We're going to a Ride Along 2 premiere again? Awesome. All right, I get to take care of the dog? Cool.
Awesome. Wait, X-Men is premiering? Okay. Yeah,
I get to pick which dress you're going to wear? Awesome. All right, let me go work out. All right,
let me go work out, honey.
Let me go have the chef make us something. I mean, come on. Really?
Right. Come on. It's a tough existence.
It's really
tough
difficult.
Tough life. Oh, wait, and we forgot golfing. He'll probably do some golfing.
Yeah.
There you go. Jeff Janis. I put this in the news because it is news that Jeff Janis, he of the fandom fervor all year long. Jeff Janis finished that game against Arizona with the third most receiving yards in Packers playoff history for a single game. Behind only number one, JerMichael Finley, and number two, John Jefferson.
Yay.
Jeff Janis comes in at number three. All three of those performances, by the way, against the Cardinals, which I found hilarious.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, all three.
Yay, Jeff Janis. Awesome.
Don't you be dismissing Jeff Janis.
I'm not dismissing
him.
We'll
talk about him a little later.
I'm not dismissing
Jeff
Janis.
We'll talk about him a little later.
I'm not dismissing Jeff Janis.
We'll talk about him a little later.
Okay.
And next up,
I love Jeff Janis.
Next up, Eddie Lacy put on notice by Mike McCarthy. Okay, maybe this isn't really news, but it's kind of news if you're a Packer geek like us. I mean, Mike McCarthy went all out at his season-ending press conference and not only said that Eddie Lacy clearly had a bad offseason and it caught up with him, and he never, never recovered from it, but he said point blank, Eddie Lacy cannot play at the weight he played at this year, next year. Point blank said it. All year, everyone's been dancing around. Like, Mike hasn't wanted to say it for obvious reasons. Mike doesn't want to create a controversy in the middle of the year.
Yep.
I get that. Doesn't want to create a distraction. Even though everyone's talking about it and everyone knows about it, Mike doesn't want to talk about it. I get that. But then, end of the year, Mike was like, yo, put up or shut up.
I still don't think you go. I don't know. It's his prerogative as the coach, but... Like,
now remember, he knows this young man better than anyone, better than you and I, better than any fan, better than any media member. Mike knows him. Like,
but can't you just tell him?
Probably. You don't think he did all year? Mike mentioned that during his press conference because it didn't work. Mike's been on him all year and it doesn't work. So what's your last recourse before the man leaves for the offseason and starts tweeting about food again? Like, your recourse is to go, this is it. This is your job. This is your profession. I need you to be a professional. I need you to come back in shape. I get it, man. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm like saying that. Because you look at Eddie last year and look at him this year.
When you call people fat, when you fat shame people, it doesn't necessarily make them lose weight. Okay. Have you ever watched The Biggest Loser?
I don't see this as fat shaming. I see this as questioning their professionalism. There's a difference.
It's kind of fat shaming, bro.
It's not fat shaming
at all.
It
is a little bit.
Not if it's your profession. Your job is to stay in shape.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. I will take an out of shape Eddie Lacy.
All right. Who doesn't score on that long play against Arizona?
I don't know if anybody could have scored at that
point. Oh, he totally could have scored it. Old Eddie Lacy scores in that play.
I watched it.
He was like, he was like running as if like, can I find a place to lay down? That's how he was running.
It was a pretty long run.
And I love Eddie. I love Eddie Lacy. All I did last offseason was Vine Eddie Lacy plays. I love Eddie Lacy. I freaking love Eddie Lacy. Wanted the Packers to draft him. Never thought they would. And then they did. And I was so happy. And then he was kicked ass his rookie year. Got offensive rookie of the year. I was at the NFL Honors here at Radio City. I was in the basement. I took his picture. I was like, oh my God, this kid is awesome. Second year, comes back kicking ass. All sorts of craziness, spin moves out of the freaking gourd. Great, some issues with the vision, but he's awesome. He's breaking tackles.
His issues with vision now are amazing, though.
But, like, amazing work, right? And then you come to this year, doesn't come out of the gate so well, and people are like, he's out of shape, all this stuff, and I'm defending him. I'm spending all, like, first half of the year defending the kid, going, same kid, just needs a chance, just needs to open up. And as the year goes on, you kind of come to the realization that, yeah, no, he's not the same.
True, but he has matured in other places.
Let's hope.
But you've
seen
that.
Let's hope that...
Like, for instance, his vision is better.
It's better. There's no doubt about that. But let's hope the maturity / growing continues into the offseason.
In the area of professionalism. I agree with Ian. I thought that run in Arizona was awesome.
It was. I'm not saying it wasn't awesome. He just should have scored.
I was okay with it. And you know what? We did score. So,
yeah. I hear you.
FYI.
I am well aware. Anyway. You want to go to the offense? Speaking of Eddie Lacy running?
I mean, we don't fat shame the offensive linemen.
We're not fat shaming.
It's bigger.
It's your job.
They're bigger than Eddie Lacy.
Do they have to run the football?
Yeah, on a sweep.
In their hands?
No.
The football's in their hands.
But they have to block.
The football
they have to run out
is in their hands when they run.
Just saying.
Short area quickness is fine. A whole other ball game when you got to break away and run away from dudes trying to tackle you.
Ralph says, dude still averaged 4.1 yards per carry this year.
Mm-hmm. Imagine if he had averaged 5 yards per carry.
Guess what?
Which he could have.
Guess what, my friend?
What's that?
4.1 yards is winning.
Yeah, I agree.
I totally agree.
I love Eddie Lacy. I love him like a brother, like the younger brother I never had. He just needs to be a professional.
Wait, I thought I was the brother you never had.
You're like the distant cousin who I put up with. Are you kidding me, dude?
That's messed up, dude. That's really messed up.
Come on.
This is the last show, and that's how you're going to treat me?
Hell yeah.
You're going to fire me, and then you're going to fucking treat me like that?
Well, I do love how you're creating these scenarios as we go. It's good. It's good. But yes, I love Eddie, and I want him to, kick ass.
We're on the offense now.
No, wait. I want him to kick ass. You know why I want him to kick ass? Because I want him to come back next year and just kill everybody and, just bowl people over and get a fucking huge extension.
I kind of feel like that's going to happen.
I'm hoping.
I mean, next year we're going to go over in the blogosphere next year and some of the major hurdles the Packers have to get over. But, you know, I don't know. I don't see how you can be a fan or a media type, even though you get paid to not do what I'm about to say,
right,
and not kind of be excited. Now, I was really excited last year, but I'm actually more excited because younger guys this year, I feel like more younger guys stepped up this year than last year.
Well,
we found out about a lot
two
of guys. Of
the, there's two things there, though. Yes, they did, but there's a flip side because they had to, especially in the secondary. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So Jeff Janis on the offensive side of the football makes the most of his opportunity. Very interesting that it took Randall Cobb coughing up blood for Jeff Janis to get significant snaps in the offense.
I mean, but does here
and then, oh wait, he delivered. All year I've been looking at his routes saying, yeah, he's kind of sloppy. Yeah, I get why he's maybe not playing a whole lot. Kid showed some hands. Kid showed some heart. Kid showed some freaking want to.
He's really strong.
And also, FYI, that kid can freaking fly. Holy cow, you put on the tape and this guy, he's so fast.
But here's my problem.
Love
okay?
those long strides.
There's nothing that annoys me more. Okay, and if you want me to unfollow you on Twitter, okay?
This seems like a weekly. We should have a weekly
segment. Get Corey to unfollow
you. Corey's unfollows of the week.
Okay. I can't tell you how many times I saw on my timeline.
Right.
I've been saying all year they need to put Janis
in. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Let me tell you this, okay? I'm going to tell you this right now. If Devontae Adams is healthy next year, he is going to have a better year than Jeff Janis next
year. No question.
There is no question. But if you go on Twitter,
you'll be stoned
like
to death
said,
for saying that.
Yeah, it's like we said in the week six, where it's the coming of Jesus, and we're just waiting for Jesus. Well, guess what? Jesus came. He's really good, and that's great. And you know what? He's really going to be awesome as the third receiver.
Or fourth.
Or fourth.
Fifth. Like, whatever.
And he's going to be great, and I'm going to love him. But, like, can we just breathe for 2 seconds about this? Like, he's not... Again, this is his rookie year.
I like... Second year.
It takes them... Next year, he's going to have a great year.
I think Alex on the chat summed it up perfectly. Janis's routes were still pretty awful.
It's true. It was. Like, that's the thing. Like, here's the thing. He was productive on plays where Aaron pretty much, like, broke the system, like, where he scrambles or makes something happen. He had a couple nice catches on slant patterns, which are pretty easy. They never get called. They get called, like, 2 or 3 times a game. But, he made some plays. But most of them were, like, Aaron and Janis improvising, which is great because it shows a little trust and it shows a little improvisational ability, and that's great. That's what you want to see. You want to see a little connection between your quarterback and your wide receiver. But it wasn't like he tore it up in the confines of the offense. Although, I mean, I know detractors will say maybe the offense needs to be torn up after this year, but we'll get to that. Speaking of the offensive line more than held up its end of the bargain on Saturday night. I mean, there was all this talk leading into the game about the pass rush of the Cardinals, the blitzing, the et cetera. Calais Campbell, that was my big worry.
Yep.
Josh Sitton absolutely owned Campbell in this matchup. David Bakhtiari played extremely well, even on an ankle, which apparently had 5 ligaments that were hurt, 3 of which were torn.
Damn.
Didn't matter. Bakhtiari came and gutted it out and played really, really well. TJ Lang was a monster. Corey Linsley had one of his best games of the year. Bulaga stoned people. I mean, the penalty notwithstanding. But great job of the offensive line to close out the year. I mean, just a great job. I was watching the tape last night, and there are so many plays where, you know, the Cardinals are showing one thing, and then they drop a guy down at the last second. And you see Linsley making last-second calls literally moments before he snaps the ball. And they're all moving in sync. That's a great offensive line. That's
all they got to do is stay healthy, and we win the Super Bowl this year.
I agree.
I mean, that's literally the only thing we needed this year to have happen.
But they did a great job. Great job. Eddie Lacy. We talked about Eddie Lacy, so we won't belabor this, but he had 2 really nice runs. He had the run. Everyone remembers the huge run. But right before that run, there was another run that he had, which was so sweet, where he tucks it up inside on the cutback, which is so great. I think it was a 13-yard run. It was so lovely. That's the vision you were talking about.
Yeah.
It was great. On the huge run...
He's had that this whole season,
though. The huge run, though, was funny because, like, the backside of that, of the big 60-plus yarder, like, there was nobody there for the Cardinals. Like, most teams, like, have a guy who is like, okay, your job is to make sure there's no cutback. There was nobody doing that job on that run.
Well,
like, it's hilarious.
I mean, the crazy thing about that game is that there was a one point I looked at the third quarter, and Arizona had 28 rushing yards.
Yeah.
And then they went backwards. They went back to 25 because we had a 3-yard loss.
Yep.
And we had 100. At that point, when I looked at it, we had 128. So we won that battle. It's a little bit unfortunate that they had a lucky throw in the end zone.
Ian, I want to address this on the chat. Regarding James Jones, he had a really hard time against good coverage. Yes, he did. He was totally blanked by Patrick Peterson. To be fair, Patrick Peterson is one of, he was in the conversation this year for one of the best corners in the game, along with Josh Norman, along with Richard Sherman, Darrell Revis, etc. I mean, Peterson had his best year as a pro, and he was always good, but this year he like took it to a new level, so he absolutely blanked James Jones. Does he come back next year? This is the million-dollar question that I've gotten a billion times on Twitter.
Jersey Al says no.
I saw that. I think they will bring him back. I think they will bring him back to camp on a cheap deal.
And whether he wins or not. Because
I don't see him getting much of a bite in free agency. I think the Packers will allow him to get to free agency. I don't see him getting much of a bite from anyone else.
There's no reason not to bring him back to camp, though.
Maybe the Giants again with McAdoo there, etc. Maybe that happens. They bring him back for an encore there. I doubt it, but maybe.
I mean,
yeah,
at this point,
I think
point,
they bring him back for the
at
for
this
camp.
Point. Don't you have to go with don't? Okay, after that playoff game, right?
Right, right, right.
So let's say we get through camp, right? At this point, doesn't Jeff Janis deserve to be the number four receiver with Devontae Adams trying to compete with Cobb for that second spot?
Let me quote my good friend Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven. Deserves got nothing to do with it.
I'm just saying the likelihood.
I know.
It's pretty damn likely.
Well, here's my thing. The whole James Jones thing, man, he's a luxury. And he's a luxury that the Packers can afford going into 2016. It's all about bring him to camp, let him compete. Now, the die is cast. The Packers want to go young. That's the whole reason they let him walk in the first place. Like, they're going to skew young. They're going to give favor to their young receivers. But as we've seen this year, more than ever, injuries can screw up every plan that you've ever laid.
Totally.
So bring James Jones in, let him compete, and if and when injuries strike, you have a James Jones sitting there. Oh, that's right, James Jones. Not to mention, 12's going to go to bat for this guy. Like,
yeah,
he went to bat for him twice already publicly. He's going to go to bat for him again this year. You can bet on that. He said he loves him like a brother. I mean,
here's what I'm waiting
Rodgers'
for.
Words will
laugh.
Weigh a little bit.
Here's
I don't
what
think
I'm
a lot,
waiting for,
but
though.
A little bit.
Here's what I'm waiting for. Okay.
Yeah.
Opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Empty backfield.
Oh Jesus.
Five wide, baby.
Don't give me a heart attack here.
Jordy Nelson.
Right.
Randall Cobb. Right. Devontae Adams. Jeff Janis. Aberderis. Five wide.
I'd put Ty Montgomery instead of Aberderis, but I'm with you. I'm with you.
Dude,
I know.
If I could do six wide, I would do it.
I'm with you, dude.
I mean, are you kidding?
Well, here's the thing. Like,
if the line is healthy.
But here's my thing. Like, you could go to camp, and Aberderis might not even make the squad.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Don't come on. That's very possible.
I don't see that happening.
I could say I don't see it happening, but that doesn't mean it won't happen.
I know, but see, I get that luxury.
Yes, you do, because you're a fan and you're allowed to. I hear you.
I don't see that happening.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible. We'll see. We'll see. That's all I'm saying.
You got to keep Aberderis over James Jones, though.
Do you? If they go to camp, well, and James Jones
point,
has a better camp?
To your point, young, right?
That's my point, though. Like, I'm just saying,
I'm
it's not out of the
point.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. That's all I'm saying. Will Abby be back? Most likely. I'd give it a 90% chance of happening. But we've seen the 10% happen in Green Bay a couple of times. That's all I'm saying.
Michael Klink makes a good point. You could have six wide receivers if you put Cobb in as the quarterback.
Yes, you could. Yes, make it happen.
Dude.
I'm all in.
That is actually a killer formation.
But you know what?
And then have Cobb run.
That would be taking Aaron Rodgers off the field.
But that would be sweet.
It would be. And that would be more creativity than Mike McCarthy has ever shown.
That would
so
be
let's just relax.
Sweet.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers. All right, you ready for the vines? Because we're going to do some vines here.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. I want you to show the Janis vine first. I want to show the Janis vine first. This is Jeff Janis. Absolutely. Oh, the lower third kills it. Oh, no. All right.
Give me a second,
okay.
Nagler.
Here's Jeff Janis. This is a zone where the corner, the safety finally finds him. Jeff Janis has this whole thing smoked. Look at those strides. Beat by a good two steps. This should be a touchdown. Now, show the other vine. Show the Rodgers vine. This is the same play. This is Aaron Rodgers looking left his whole time, waiting for it. So, because I've heard some people say he found Janis late. No. He didn't find Janis late. He's looking this way the whole time. Look, he's looking left. He's waiting for it. He's waiting on it. All Rodgers has to do is transfer his weight forward onto his left foot, and this is a touchdown. But he uses his hips. He turns around. It's all arm. The weight is transferred through his hips rather than his feet. This is quarterbacking. This is the minutia. that needs to happen over this offseason. This is a quintessential distillation of the issue with Aaron Rodgers this year.
But here's the thing that's crazy.
Yeah.
He does the same thing on 4th and 20, and he throws it 60 yards.
No, he doesn't. Look at 4th and 20. He steps into it. He steps into 4th and 20. He does the same thing on the Hail Mary.
That's what I meant.
Actually, not even the Hail Mary.
One of them, he still throws it 60 yards.
He doesn't even do that. On the Hail Mary, he's falling back.
Yeah.
But that's the issue. Actually, it happened in the Detroit game at Lambeau, where he sees Richard Rodgers cutting over the middle of the end zone. He doesn't set his feet. He doesn't transfer his weight. He slings it sidearm, and it's a touchdown. And that's the problem. He still finds success with poor mechanics and poor fundamentals, so he sees no reason, or at least he feels no reason, to go back and break down the fundamentals and drill the shit out of them and get back to them.
That goes to when you're a B student and you're smarter than that, and you're just like, oh, well, I can just get Bs all the time and it's fine.
And that, to me, that play is a distillation of Rodgers in 2015 hitting that point that Brett Favre hit when he coincidentally hit pretty much the same age as Rodgers is this year, where all of a sudden, and I'm pretty sure the stats back this up, where all of a sudden he's kind of just making it happen athletically rather than, and he's still got the mind, he's still got everything pre-snap, he's still doing all that, but there are still throws. There's a handful of throws a game where if he just gets back to fundamentals, it's a difference. It's a difference enough, because that play that we just showed, that's the ball game. If he hits Janis, and there's another one after that. There's another one where Janis is running a post up the seam where he runs from he's coming up the middle and he's got the guy. Again, he's got the guy beat.
Well,
now, that one.
The ball game is
that
Sam,
one was underthrown.
The ball game is Sam Rogers, Shields catching one interception.
There's a million things. There's a million things. But none of that matters if Rodgers just hits on one of those long balls to Janis. Janis is up the middle, touchdown. Again, that one was overthrown. The one right there we just showed, that's underthrown. It's the little things. It's the little things. And that's why it drives me nuts when people say, and I was going to get to this later, but I'm going to do it now because it's half of my show and I don't care. Like, this is what drives me nuts when people say, as our friend Kevin Seifert at ESPN.com wrote this week, the clock is ticking. And that's an allusion to they're wasting Rodgers' prime. Well, you know what?
I don't get that.
Rodgers is complicit in this. Rodgers just can't coast on, I'm two-time MVP Aaron Rodgers, I'm awesome, I don't have to worry about it, the rest of the team has to rally to me. No. You've got to do the work too. You've got to put the work in to make yourself as good, if not better. Because you're not 26-year-old Aaron Rodgers anymore.
Well, and I don't understand, the whole clock is ticking thing doesn't make any sense to me, because it's like, yeah, the clock is ticking for all of us.
Yeah, well.
You know what?
If we
don't do better on this show, we're going to die. But guess what? We're going to die anyway. Like,
but the
clock is ticking in general.
The sense that you have a franchise quarterback and you want to win Super Bowls with him. I get that. I get that idea. I get that feeling. But it's like everyone just dismisses the fact that Rodgers has to be better too. Like, it's not just everyone needs to be better for Rodgers' sake. It's a team. It's a team game. Rodgers is part of the team. Rodgers is part of the entity that needs to be better.
Well, and I have a serious issue with even the media. Like, I mean,
you have an issue with the media?
I have this issue with the media and fans who, you know, if you say something where I feel satisfied after the season, okay? I feel satisfied.
For the most part, I do too.
I'm not elated. My expectations for where we are and how I follow the Packers.
I am heartbroken.
Of course.
As any Packer fan
would
be.
We could have won the Super Bowl just like we could have won last year.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yep.
But I will take 7 years of going in the playoffs and heartbreaking losses.
Yep.
Over one time winning the Super Bowl in 30 years. Now, people are like, oh, we've only won the Super Bowl twice in like 52 years.
Which
right?
is hilarious, people. Hilarious.
It's hilarious. Okay. I just...
Talk to the Vikings. Talk to the Lions. Talk to the Bears. How many of those teams would die Today, did you know, Corey, is National Cheese Lovers Day. You know why I know that? Because both the Bears and the Vikings' official Twitter accounts tweeted about it. You know why? Because they want what we got. They got a whole two franchises dying to be us.
You know, would I like to be the New England Patriots and their level of success and win four Super Bowls like Tom Brady has, or five, or however many it is, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, do I want, here's the thing though, do I want that at the expense of my team going down in history as one of the cheatingest, lowest villainous teams of all time? No. Because you know what? Even though we are champions and we've gone to the playoffs seven times and won the Super Bowl in 2010, we're always going to be the underdog because we're not the third or fourth largest city in the U.S. So it's this beautiful thing that just gets like, you know, that was literally the greatest game I've ever been to in my life. And I was at the 2010 Super Bowl.
I
was at some pretty damn great games.
Yeah, you were.
That was an amazing football game.
Yeah.
It was back and forth. It was everything you ask in a football game. It was better than Denver Super Bowl where they beat us. It was better than...
You know what kills me, though? Is that like NFL.com, NFL, I'm on the NFL app. I'm watching the, you know, coaches film or whatever. But when you get there, initially in the NFL app, you get there, and you're like, instant classic. And it is. It absolutely is.
It is.
But I could take you through my iTunes account with all of the instant classics from the Packers where they lose. It's so hard. And I said this last year because last year when they lost to Seattle, another instant classic where I had to do this talking head thing with NFL Films about heartbreaking playoff losses. And I said to them, I said, you guys got like a whole archive of like, I'm up at like 2 a.m. or whatever, and some playoff classic comes on NFL Network, and oh, look, here's the Packers losing in heartbreaking fashion yet again. They don't have a whole lot of instant classics where the Packers pull it out at the end.
I mean, but the reason why that is, here's the true reason, right? Television didn't exist when the Packers had their instant classics in 1936 World Championship.
It existed.
Not 1936, barely. Not
the
live television.
Classics in the 60s. Like, television existed.
1936 World Champion. 1931 World Champion. 1930 World Champion. I guarantee you there were some instant classics for those 4 years.
I hear you, man.
Where's the television? There wasn't even Kinescope then, dude. Do you even know what that is?
There certainly was no Packer transplants.
No, well, there wasn't. I wasn't even born. But still, like, this is the thing. Like, we are so navel-gazing on this issue. I just want to pull up the tape. I just wish we could pull up. You know, one day we're going to be able to pull into, like, old people's DNA and actually pull videotape.
It's like Minority Report or something.
Yeah, we'll be able to pull out the memories from people from the 30s.
That's great. I love it. All right. Hey, let's talk about our friends at Legends of the Field because they're awesome. They are awesome. Let me tell you. We collaborated with Legends of the Field all year, all season, giving away autographed merchandise on our live blog.
Yep.
Which, of course, there will be no more for a while. But all year long, they've been a great partner, giving great stuff away. Visit legendsofthefield.com. If you're a Packers fan, you want autographed memorabilia, just not autographed memorabilia, any memorabilia you can think of as a Packers fan, legendsofthefield.com, or visit one of their locations in Wisconsin. You can find them on their website. Hot stuff. I'm just telling you right now, hot stuff.
They already have Demarius Randall stuff.
So I'm saying, man. It's what I'm saying. So just find it, people, because it's hot. Scott Barker.
Scott
night,
left.
Night, guys. He's go, bored. Pack, go. Scott, why you gotta work? Why you gotta go, bored. Man? Really? We're that boring? Yeah, we're kind of boring.
Pretty much. Okay, defense.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready for the vine? This is the heartbreakingest vine of all time, people. Heartbreakingest vine of all time. This is, ladies and gentlemen, the big play to Larry Fitzgerald. The first part of it, before he even catches the pass. That's Larry Fitzgerald being wide open. And this is Demarius Randall. You see 23 down there at the bottom. And then you see him dropping there and leaving Larry Fitzgerald to go. Now, you'll notice on this play how Fitzgerald runs behind the dropper in the zone on the top of the screen. That's Julius Peppers. Now, after the game, looking at the broadcast tape, Bob McGinn, and I will admit myself, I saw Julius Peppers go after the quarterback, and I thought he vacated his zone. Oh, my God, that's the reason Fitzgerald was so wide open. Turns out, talk to Dom Capers on Monday, as the media did, Demarius Randle had a total brain fart. Demarius Randle let Fitzgerald go, even though he wasn't supposed to. In Dom's words, Randle, as you saw on that vine, Fitzgerald crosses over Julius Peppers, which means Peppers is not responsible for him. If Randle sees Fitzgerald cross over the top of Peppers, he's supposed to stick with him. That's the facts. That's the defense. And then Peppers is free if he sees no one cross in front of his face. That's why he saw Carson Palmer leaking out. He thought, I'm going to go get him. And that's why Larry Fitzgerald was wide open. Fitzgerald was wide open because a rookie went full rookie at the worst possible time.
Not according to Bob McGinn, though.
Well, and that's my point. Bob McGinn.
Wah, wah.
Bob McGinn.
Bob McGinn is getting senile, bro.
Broadcast tape. No, well, you know, a lot of us did.
Senile.
A lot of us did.
He's getting senile. This was his worst year as a reporter for the Packers.
I don't know about that.
What was worse than this year?
I don't know. I don't think it was that bad.
Writing crappy stories about the Packers all year?
I'm not listing them. He didn't write. Well, the one about Ted. The one about Ted.
The one about Ted.
Was a little pain by numbers.
The follow-up to Cohen's bullshit article. And then telling people that Julius Peppers was to blame for the worst play of the season, right? And you're going to blame it all on Julius Peppers and it's not even his fault? Mm. That's bad reporting, bro, last time I checked.
Well, on the concept of talking about Peppers, he's an analyst. He's not.
Are
reporting.
You supposed to know about football?
Yes, of course.
So maybe
he
should do like you did and wait a second, watch the game film, see what the actual play was supposed to do, and then make a decision instead of just getting up on his high horse and saying Julius Peppers. It's just rude, dude.
Yeah.
If I was Julius Peppers, I would not be happy about it.
I hear you. Anyway, we'll see.
I'm just disappointed with Bob McGinn this season. That's one of my biggest issues.
Sam Shields changed the defense. Sam Shields out for a month. You saw him playing against Arizona. Changes the whole tenor of the secondary. Man, this kid, how good is he? How good is he? Unbelievable.
I like him.
Sorry, I'm reading the chat.
I love when you get like you pause and read the chat. Just, it's so compelling.
I don't know about
that. It's just compelling television.
Just stop. Oh, wait. So it's fine when
that was
you
sarcasm.
Do it. When you do it, I try to cover for you. When I do it, you fucking call me out on
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I
just
love
keep
it.
The camera on
I
you.
I love it. It's great.
Looking at it.
Thanks. Thanks, director. Talk about compelling television. Why don't you create some compelling television and talk?
Okay.
Anyway. What about the defensive line? Nah, forget Sam Shields. Okay. What about the defensive line? Dominant versus the run. My favorite quote of this whole week, because you know what sucks? When your team is done and you watch all the other coaches talking because they're still playing, and it's like, oh, God, that should be us. But Bruce Arians had a great quote on Monday when they asked him about the run game and how they couldn't get anything going. And then he said, well, we're getting our ass kicked up front. Because you know what?
Yep.
That's the truth.
I don't.
Raji, Guyon, and Daniels absolutely freaking owned the Cardinals up front. Owned them.
Except I wish Mike Neal could have sacked Carson Palmer on the last play.
Of course,
of the game.
Of course.
FYI.
Not a defensive lineman, but of course.
But whatever. The front.
I hear you. Hey, Carson Palmer.
Look,
had a
like I said, they had like
a well timed spin move for the first time in his career.
For the first time ever.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, what are you going to do? Hey, he gets paid to make plays too.
I guess.
And then finally, speaking of the defensive front, Julius Peppers came to play. Julius Peppers had the sack. He was close on maybe three more. And let me just tell you something right now. I know a lot of people have mentioned this, and I just want to say I am often like, you know, the one who, when people complain about the refs, I will retweet them on Twitter and say, this is the loser's lament. But I will say, Julius Peppers was held a lot in that game, and it didn't go called. On the flip side, there was some holding going on
I was about to say,
by David Bakhtiari and other members of the offensive line that didn't get called the other way.
They made
it's hard for me to like get too upset about it.
They made a conscious decision in that game to not call, unless it was...
a lot.
Yeah.
Like, there was lots of PI that could have been called that wasn't. So, I get it.
I was about to say, that one PI on fourth down before took it over a third or fourth down.
It was a fourth down, a fourth and 20. We got pulled back.
That was PI.
On the third down. Third down.
The third down, yeah. It was PI.
It was, but again, it was very much a let them play mentality, and I kind of appreciated that. As a fan of football, I don't want the games to be decided by officiating. I want the guys to get open. I want the guys to make the block. I want the guys to... or get around the block and make the sack in the quarterback.
I don't want to see muggings, though.
No, and I don't think there was. That's my point. Like, there was one really bad play on Peppers that didn't get called, but other than that, fine. But that said, Peppers came to play. He had the close to one... He had the sack in close to three more. My very interesting question here, we're going to talk about free agency a little bit later, but will he be back next year? One more year on his deal.
Well, we'll see.
Do they bring him back?
We'll
see. Or will he retire? I don't think he retires, but it's a possibility, I guess. But we'll see. Yes, you're right. So you ready?
Yep.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey Behnke, are you ready to play? And by the way, this doesn't really specifically like point to any specific post or article or anything in the Packer Blogosphere, but I know that for the next
this is what we're going to be talking about.
This is all anyone's going to be talking about. So we're just going to preemptively strike this. All right, Corey, we're going to play a game.
Yep.
I am asking you, Corey Behnke, general manager of the Green Bay Packers, I want a yes or no answer on the following 14 unrestricted free agents. Are they back with the Packers or are they not?
Okay.
I want yes or no. I want no explanation.
Okay.
I want no hemming or hawing. I just want the words yes or no.
Okay, hold on. I need to show something.
You ready to play?
Hold on.
All right. Yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy in Washington right there.
Okay.
All right, you ready? Okay, here we go. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You sure you're ready?
Yep.
General manager Corey Behnke, these are major life decisions you are making will alter the fate of the franchise.
You know I'm going to say yes to all 14, right?
No, I'm sure you won't, especially when I start with the one I'm going to start with. Okay. You ready?
Are you starting with
the... I'm going to start with the one I'm going to start with. You ready? Yep. All right. Don Barclay.
No.
Told you weren't gonna say yes. Okay, so Don Barclay's a no. Mason Crosby.
Yes.
Brett Goode.
Yes.
Even though he's hurt, we got a replacement that worked out okay. Okay, okay. Okay, no, I didn't want anything. Okay, you're fine. Latroy Guyon. Michael Cohen is listening very intently.
Yes.
He's Casey Hayward.
Yes.
Wow, really? Okay. James Jones.
No.
Really? All right, good. John Kuhn.
Yes.
Mike Neal.
Yes.
Nick Perry.
No.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Andrew Quarles.
No way in hell.
I told you they weren't going to all be yeses. BJ Raji.
Yes.
There you go. So there you go, people.
That was it?
That was it.
Tim Maste.
I don't think he's an unrestricted
free agent.
He needs
to go. Tim Maste. Goodbye.
You're fired.
You're fired.
So we had one. I mean, I'll count the notes. One.
I mean, are we going to... Oh, here's the thing.
Two.
Are we going to be able to afford Mike Perry?
Three.
Nick Perry?
Are we going to be able to afford Mike Neal? I don't know.
Come on. We got to have Mike Neal. He was like one of
three.
The best
so
things.
So three no's out of the 14. Okay. All right. I'm down with that. That's good.
I mean, how close is I to you?
Okay. This is where I would be. Don Barclay, no way. Mason Crosby, yes. Brett Goode, probably not. Troy Guyon, doubtful.
Really? Casey, why? Wait, why?
Guyon?
Yeah.
Just because, like, you know, they got the couple years out of him and they got the off-field stuff that they don't want to deal with, so I think he's gone.
But I thought the off-field stuff was...
They just want to deal with it. Like, and I'll bet they draft somebody there. Because, like,
right.
I don't know, we'll see. Anyway, okay. Casey Hayward, I will be shocked if Casey Hayward's
and
back.
Why, though?
Because they drafted and got an undrafted guy who can play, like... No chance. Like, they got a guy who's great in the slot. He's publicly stated he wants to play outside more. He wants a shot at having a full-time outside job. That's Randall's job.
But here's the thing.
Yeah, Randall and Shields.
Okay, but look at Shields this year,
though. Don't get me wrong.
Though.
They would love to bring him back on a discounted rate, but if you're Casey Hayward, do you want to come back at a discounted rate?
Yeah, you're not.
No chance.
No way.
You want to go get you want to get that Devon House money.
I just feel like they have to have a... They know they have a number one and a number two, but Sam Shields this year was amazing when he played.
Yeah, he missed four games, and that's harsh.
And that's,
but that's why. Well, who didn't play at all this year? Who didn't play at all? Who was undrafted? Who I love?
Gunter.
That's right, my boy Gunter. He's going to come. He's going to take that spot. It's going to be awesome. But I'm serious, because they got Rollins, who is very
Rollins will look really good.
So you don't pay Casey Hayward. You drafted these guys. They're on cheap deals. They can play. You let them play. That's my thing. Like, and Hayward wants to play
outside.
Well,
and
you're
not
going to give him that
opportunity.
The point
that you make is that Hayward is going to get bigger money somewhere else that they're not going to want to pay.
Absolutely. He's absolutely going to want to test the market. He's going to get the market. And
he's
going to
get the
paid.
Money. That's a
especially
that
with
position.
the tape he put on for the last month of the season. It's like Devon House. He's going to get paid. He's not going to get paid by Green Bay.
No.
That's fine.
I hear you.
And then, okay, John Kuhn. Oh, wait, I didn't get to James. James Jones, I think they do bring him back just because I
like
don't.
Like what you said.
Just
because
I don't think he finds a deal out there. John Kuhn, probably, although Ripkowski never really got a chance this year, so it'll be fun. I think they bring him back because I don't think anyone else will sign him.
That's
again.
The thing. You're going to get John Kuhn cheap.
Yeah, you're going to give him a veteran minimum.
And for what you're paying John Kuhn and what you're going to get,
yeah,
there's so much value.
Yeah, exactly. The ROI is through the roof.
John Kuhn on a screen. Think about how many screens the Packers had with John Kuhn. Think about the blocking they had up front. Think about the sweeps they do.
If they actually called it. Well, that's the thing. How much more did John Kuhn play once Mike McCarthy started calling plays? Like, it's ridiculous. All of a sudden, he's on the field all the time. Opposed to with Tom Clements, where he was barely on the
field. And that's something that, like... That's something of like that's gone away. Like, I know that we are there's something Stephen King says in The Dark Tower where we have moved on. We're moving on from fullbacks in the NFL. But the fullback position, there are a lot of running backs, and I think Eddie Lacy is one of them that benefit from
having
a fullback.
A big guy in front of them. Yeah. Well, and that's the question. Like, I think he doesn't see any kind of bites out there in free agency, and he's definitely brought back, and he's allowed to compete with Ripkowski. It's all on Ripkowski, to me. Because Ripkowski, seriously, barely played this year. They invested a draft pick in him. They got three more years of this kid. You got to think he's got a good shot.
Wasn't he a third round, though?
No, it's like, what, fourth, fifth round.
Third
day. But here's my, like, you got to think, like, they want Ripkowski to take that job. So you got to think they're going to give him every opportunity
to
take it.
But you
got to take
the job. John Kuhn.
That's my point. You got to think he's got to take that job in the summer.
John Kuhn is one of those unsung value guys.
Absolutely.
He is so valuable.
Yeah, veterans minimum.
This team.
Just killing it every year. Yeah, I'm all in. Mike Neal, I don't know. I think they want to, but I don't think they sign him up before free agency. And I think
why wouldn't Ted pay though?
Because he doesn't want to overpay.
But what does it matter? We're going to be under the cap.
I was going to say something really inappropriate, but I won't.
But it doesn't matter. We're going to be under the cap. What does it matter?
Because you're Ted Thompson. That's what you do.
We're going to have to pay BJ Raji.
You're going
to
let him go, and you're going to.
So who are we
going to
pay?
He's going to find.
Who are we going to pay?
Well,
BJ Raji.
BJ Raji is going to be expensive. BJ Raji earned some coin this year. And yes, I think they will pay him.
They're going to pay BJ Raji.
They're going to try to pay him. I don't know. It takes two to tango. We'll see. Who's our other list? Nick Perry? I don't think so. Like, as much as I want him back because he looked really good down the stretch.
Late in the season, yeah.
He's a role player. You can get his production elsewhere. They didn't tender him an offer at the beginning of the year because they know he's hurt a lot. He was in, you know, he came on at the end of the year. He played the run really well, made some nice plays, you know, rushing the passer against Washington, and then had an unblocked moment against the Cardinals where he, you know, hit Palmer, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think you bring him back. I mean, I think they let him hit free agency. He probably finds a deal. Maybe not. And then fine. Then the Packers are in a position of strength and they bring him back on a cheap deal. But Corliss, yeah, I'm with you. Done. I think they have to draft somebody. Maybe they look in free agency because the draft isn't that particularly deep at tight end.
At this point, you have got to blow up tight end.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. The problem is that, okay, what do we know about Ted Thompson? How does he procure talent through the draft?
I know, but
there isn't a whole lot of talent.
Here's his problem,
at the tight end
right?
position.
Here is his tension problem, right?
Yeah.
What is the number one position in the West Coast offense?
Well, the difference maker
besides
is at tight
quarterback.
End. The difference maker is at tight end. Yeah, absolutely.
You need a tight end.
Dude, I've been saying all year the number one thing they need, and I went off on this the other night on Twitter when people were asking me, because you know, once the season's over, all anyone wants to ask you about is what's their number one draft thing. And hey, there is no doubt. The number one thing this team needs before inside linebacker, and I do agree they need an inside linebacker, especially with Mike McCarthy saying that Clay needs to kick back outside. Before that, more than anything, this team needs a pass catching slash move slash joker tight end. They need a tight end, and everyone wants to say a JerMichael Finley tight end.
No. JerMichael Finley is Bubba Franks.
No.
Yes.
No.
If we had Bubba Franks this year, we'd win the Super Bowl. I hate to tell you, but
you would just stop.
No. Because we
You could not be more wrong. No, what they need.
Because you could do jumbo with Bubba Franks.
They need a Travis Kelce. They need Tyler Eifert. They need someone at the tight end position who's athletic enough to get downfield and create mismatches. Someone who can run precise routes.
But those kind of tight ends come around in the draft once in a while. You're talking about a Tony Gonzalez, right?
No, I'm not talking about the greatest tight end ever played the game. I'm talking about a tight end who can be a difference maker.
Gronkowski.
Again, once in a lifetime. No, I'm not talking about a once in a lifetime talent.
You're talking about the basketball guy who can block.
A difference maker. A difference maker at the tight end position. A mismatch at tight end, which is what Finley was before he kind of lost his mind. You know, I don't need a generational talent. I need someone who can cause problems and make Richard Rodgers a complementary piece, which is what he is. I mean, I think that's pretty clear after this year.
I think Richard
even
Rodgers,
if he clears up his game, even if he like cleans up his routes, he's a complementary piece.
I think Richard Rodgers had, besides the Hail Mary in Detroit, and besides having two games where he actually came up, he kind of was a fail this year.
It's hard for me to say failed, but I will definitely say
a disappointment. But the only reason it's
big disappointment.
Here's the thing. The only reason it's hard for you to say fail.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to compare him to, and we couldn't go to tight end because we had to go to wide receiver and running back.
That's not true. There's plenty else to compare him to. There are close to 2,000 other players in the NFL I can compare.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying on our team.
Right, but that's my point. All right.
And we didn't go to tight end this year as much because we went to running back and wide receiver
because
we had nothing.
Because he is who he is, and he's like being asked to do all these different things that he's just not suited for. And the whole point of coaching, i.e. Jerry Fontenot losing his job, is to put players in the position to win. And if they don't come along, and if they don't develop, and if they don't able to be used right, then yeah, they're a disappointment. I just have a hard time calling it a fail. I mean,
considering
he didn't develop into Mark Bavaro in his second year. You know, it's hard for me to say that.
But considering
you know,
how important that position is,
it is
for
absolutely.
The offense,
absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
And Mike McCarthy especially. You watch go to Packers.com, watch Mike McCarthy's season-ending press conference, and tell me Mike McCarthy isn't dying for Ted to do something about the tight end position. Because look, I did post. You can search Aaron Nagler tight ends Cheesehead TV. Go into Google, put it in, find out what comes out. Because let me tell you right now, historically, since Mike has been in Green Bay, the tight end position has been the difference. Much like you're saying. He loves multifaceted guys that he can use in a variety of ways and scheme to kind of produce not only yardage, not only production, but like screw the hell out of the defensive coordinator. Well, you got three tight ends running in. Oh, wait, are they running? Are they passing? Are they going to spread them out? Are they going to pack them in and go power? Like, I don't know what's going to happen. That's Mike at his best. And right now, Ted hasn't really given him the tools to do that.
I hear you. And I know you're going to hate on Bubba Franks, but my biggest thing about Bubba Franks
Bubba
is he could
great.
Be that sixth offensive lineman. And that's the kind of tight end I like, where you can go into like a mini jumbo package, and they don't know if you're going to run. They don't know. And with our team, we are a running team right now, okay?
Yeah.
And we need to focus on that.
Well, they were in 2015. I don't know if that's the case.
But I think we're going to do that. If Eddie Lacy gets down and wait, and James Starks is coming back.
Maybe.
Come on. We'll see. Don't tease me.
We'll see.
Why would you not bring James Starks back?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Because maybe you draft somebody. Maybe you like somebody on the practice squad. Maybe you like, I don't know. You're the pro personnel group.
Dude,
I don't know.
That was a great tandem this year.
Yeah. Restricted free agent, though.
It really worked.
I agree. Well, James Starks was great. Eddie Lacy lost his freaking job, so I don't know how great he was, but I'm just saying.
I mean,
I'm
you're giving up on Eddie Lacy after
I'm not
three
giving
years.
Up. He's got one more year, and he's got that year to turn it around. So he's got two good years. He's got one bad year. This is the year. So if you have another bad year, you punt.
I don't know that I would put this in a bad year. I would put there's.
Are you crazy? Are you crazy?
I don't know if I would put this in a bad year for Eddie Lacy. There's plenty of running backs who have a lot less yards on shittier teams, by the way.
That doesn't help your argument, by the way. I'm just saying. Is that how we're going to end it? Is that it? Is that the end of Backer Transplants?
He had a bad year for Eddie Lacy, but he had a pretty good year as far as running backs go. He was in the top 30.
Okay, so that's it. That's where we're going to end it. That's how we're going to.
Are you going to dispute that?
I don't even know where to begin with that. And I don't want like our final send off to be an argument about Eddie Lacy's year. Because like I don't think there's any doubt that he had a disappointing season.
Disappointing, okay. Disappointing doubt. Does not necessarily translate into bad semantically, FYI.
Semantics. Okay, semantics king. All right, I see you. Oh, my God. Top 30, LOL. Yeah, thank you, Michael.
Yeah, look at the stats.
Top 30. Well, we're really happy with a top 30 back. There are only 32 teams in the league.
The top 30, if Starks is in the top 32, that's two running backs in the top 30.
In the top, there's 32 teams.
That's pretty good if you got two running backs in the top 30.
All right, I love it. All right.
FYI, Carolina is going to win the Super Bowl.
I agree with that. Okay. Yeah, let's do this. Let's talk about it really quickly.
Carolina, NFL. There is no one that is going to beat Carolina.
I think Carolina wins that game, but I do think Arizona will find a ton of passing success against that secondary.
But Carolina's still going to win. And there is no AFC team that can beat Carolina. I'm sorry.
I agree with that. I think the Patriots win that game, but I think they will get beat by the Panthers in the Super Bowl.
The only team that could have had a chance to beat Carolina was us.
I agree with that. I'm down with that.
Thanks.
I'm down with that. I'm totally down with it. See, now this is where we can end. That'll do it for this week's episode.
New England is not beating Carolina. You are insane. Stop watching the show.
Wait. New England has to beat Denver first. Denver's defense is
and
no
Denver
joke. And I know Chris Harris is hurt and et cetera, but this is not a gimme, people. And I don't think people are already penciling. And I do think New England wins the game, but it's not like New England's going to walk through it. Like,
there's a really good chance that the next two games for Carolina will be blowouts. There's a really good chance of that.
We'll see.
They have been underestimated all year. They've been underestimated all year. I saw them live. They're an amazing team.
They are.
I saw Eddie Lacy live, too, and he was pretty good.
I saw every snap the Packers took multiple times, and they were disappointing.
You didn't see them live, though.
Well, do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connected with us on the live chat. You guys really helped make this a unique fan experience. And that's why Corey and I are here. We are and always will be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. And seriously, folks, thank you so much. Can't thank you enough. It's the final transplants of the 2015-2016 season. Corey is the man for making it happen. He's unbelievable. He's a god. He's a guru. I'm just your humble football analyst who can't believe I get to do this, and I can't believe how many people tune in every week, and how many people express their thanks on Twitter. It's incredible. And thank you. We were in Green Bay this summer when this whole crazy journey started.
Yep.
I tweeted out the picture from like 6 a.m., first day of camp. We were there.
I was still sleeping then.
You were probably sleeping. I was up, but it was nuts.
I woke up at 8.
And that whole weekend really kind of crystallized to me how much Cheesehead TV has kind of reached Packers fans, because so many people came up to us. We were having dinner that Saturday night in Green Bay.
We're eating brats.
We were literally eating dinner at, I don't know,
Egemeister Park.
That's right. And a gentleman came up to us, and it was us and two of our crew members, and came up to us at dinner and said, "I can't express enough. I'm so sorry to interrupt your dinner," which I found hilarious.
Yeah,
that he did
thanks.
That.
We're hanging out with our buddies, but drinking
exactly,
beer.
I'm so sorry for interrupting your dinner, but I want to express how much I love what you guys do. It's things like that. And all weekend, people came up to us and said, "I love Cheese at TV. Thank you so much. Blah, 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 blah."
And Packers security kept coming up to me and telling me to stop filming, too.
But it was incredible. It was that whole weekend was just absolutely incredible, and it really kind of put us kind of, you know, in perspective as far as we are reaching people. People are responding. It's amazing. All year, the audience has grown for Packer Transplants. Thank you so much. Like Corey said at the start of the show, we will be back throughout the offseason intermittently. I'll be doing stuff from the Super Bowl. I'll be doing stuff from the Combine. We will have a draft show where we cover everything the Packers do. And then we'll be back for Packer training camp. So thank you so much. You guys are you're the whole reason we do this. Thank you so much. Go Pack, go.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.